Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Mary.
This is Wayne.
And this is Julia.
Alrighty, so for the topic today, we were dorking around prior to recording, and on a lark, I asked an AI, I said, what would you recommend as topics for Fear the Boot that do not include things we've already talked about before?
But we're like the Simpsons. We've talked about everything.
I know, that's part of the fun of this. So it came back with 10 suggestions, and predictably, but sadly, 9 of those 10 are topics we've already talked about and talked about heavily. So I don't know how this thing was sampling that. But for the 10th one, it was number 10, all the way at the bottom of the list. It came up with something that we've actually never done before and sounds kind of funny to me. So there's a concept we didn't create, which is the Iron GM, which is like the Iron Chef, where you give everyone one ingredient and they have to come up with a story. And we called it Tungsten GM because tungsten's stronger than iron. It was just, you know, whatever, stupid joke. What it suggested was flipping that script and doing an Iron Player episode. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the list that it gave me, and I'm going to give the prompts, and we're going to see what characters do we come up with that use these prompts. Now, for this, it's suggested for each aspect of a character, and it came up with different aspects of a character.
Let me guess, a list of 10 things?
No, 4 things.
Oh, okay.
So either we could do a different one each, or we could all do the same one, and whoever goes first picks which one we're doing. How do you guys want to do this?
If there's 4 each.
Yeah, there are 4 of
them. Are we going to use the, how are we going to use the D4? Roll it once for everyone, roll it once
Don't
per
ask
person.
Him. No, I'm kidding. Don't ask him what he's going to do with that die.
I don't know. I can see, it could be fun either way.
Yeah.
I think it would be fun for all of us to use the same ones.
Okay.
To use the same ones. All right.
All right. We'll randomly pick one of the 4 with the dice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And then we'll all do the same.
So the first one, you have to make a character, any setting, any system, all yours. You can make whatever you want. The first one is going to be origin or birthplace. Wayne, roll the D4.
4.
4. All right. We'll start with Mary. Mary, you were born in a cursed forest with no sunlight.
Wait, I need to write this down.
A cursed forest with no sunlight. Who is your character? And why were you born in a cursed forest with no sunlight?
Well, immediately my brain says that I am a mushroom person.
Ooh, all right, go on.
A sentient fungus who...
Myconoid.
Myconoid, yeah, or yeah. Straight out of Fantasia. You know, the dancing mushrooms?
Yeah.
but, yeah, if this is a cursed forest, then it is cursed to clearly have no sunlight. So you can't have anything that actually grows here, but all of the life that would be... It's still a forest, so it had to have been grown at some point.
Right.
Which means all the life that was here has been converted into things that... don't need sunlight. Like everything is some sort of fungus, or really that's your option, like sightless insects and are you know,
amoebas.
Yeah, there's this village of fungus people who have to
The forest, is it fungus too, or is there...
No, the forest is dead trees.
Okay, so the trees are like blocking out the sun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And maybe we are tiny fungus people, so that we're very far from the sun anyway, so yeah. That it's the trees don't have to be as
You're dense. Like Fern Gully.
But kind of, yeah. And there's low-level telepathic communication because we are fungus people, but there are those monks who have to go out and, like, defend against all the giant insects and bugs that have taken up, you know, that are our natural... I don't know that they eat us all the time, but they're big enough to cause problems if they trample the village.
Wayne, you are in a cursed forest. You're from a cursed forest with no sunlight. Who is your character?
All right. My character is a GM's nightmare because my character is the main character.
Oh,
of course.
Aren't they all?
Yes. When this curse happened was when I was brought into the world. I was born as the curse was... descending on the forest.
Oh, okay. So
as long as I'm alive, the sun won't come out.
Holy
when
crap.
I die, the sun comes back out.
Oh,
trick
man.
Is you're the main character, so you keep
But nobody
killed.
Knows this other than my family, and myself.
Oh, no.
So that's my character's big, bad secret that he's not telling anyone, is that if he dies, the sun comes back.
You are the reason everything sucks.
Yes.
I like it.
Mine isn't as cool as that. I don't know. I'm such like a white knight about all this, but my character lives outside of the forest, lived outside of the forest, but somehow ended up in there when the curse descended on it. Mm-hmm. So, and it's a girl in my head is fighting their way out. Okay. That's their whole goal is to get out of the forest.
So you're trying to get out
trampling
of the forest.
Trampling on Mary's character.
Right, on tiny mushroom people.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get the heck out.
So you're a perfectly normal person who is just now trapped in this sunless forest.
Yeah, in sunless forest. I need a goal, and that's to get out.
Okay, so I'm going to go science fiction just to get away from the fantasy and say that the planet that I live on has a slowly wobbling or shifting rotational plane. And what happened is the forest I'm living in used to be in the normal, like, sunlight zone of the planet, but has now just recently orbited to a position where it's fallen into, like, several years of night. And things will get cold there, and the life will die out. And this is a normal cycle for the planet where life just keeps migrating to follow the day-night zone, as opposed to being stuck in either permanent day or permanent night where nothing can live. And there's been an alien invasion that's occurred, and this is where we're hiding because it's so inhospitable. But none of us can stay here long-term because eventually it will overwhelm our supplies and ability to survive. And so we are kind of stuck. If we go to a better part of the planet, then we're going to be at the mercy of this alien invasion. If we stay here, we will eventually die for lack of resources.
Oh, I get to roll.
For the next one, man, I'm going to let you roll, but I'm almost tempted to just pick the result because one of them is so much better than the other four.
I'll roll. Maybe I'll get it.
The good one.
Let's roll and pretend it matters.
That's how Jews do.
Damn it. All right.
I mean, you can pick the other one.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to pick the other one anyway. All right, who wants to go first? Who's feeling ballsy?
Not me. I'm not very good at this.
I'll go first.
All right, Wayne?
I have to stew on my character.
Why does your character compulsively collect feathers?
All right. So my character compulsively collects feathers because he's trying to make a feather golem.
Oh,
all right. Is this the same character or is this a new one?
This is a new one.
This is a new one, okay.
Yeah, he has bags that he's filling, thinking like a down pillow. But he's trying to make a golem out of these feathers. But you can't just use the same kind of feathers because then there's no personality to your golem. You have to use different feathers of different creatures.
It's like if you use magpie feathers, it's going to run around town playing kleptomaniac.
Yeah, you want a variety. Yeah. So it's a well-rounded golem.
Yeah, you need some corvid feathers so it can speak.
Yeah, you need at least one cowbird feather so it can go kick other birds' eggs out of their nests and lay its own egg and run away and abandon its children.
And it matters where you put them. So I need the corvid feathers in the, you know, in the head of the golem.
Yeah, around where the larynx would be. Because
you don't want it to talk out its ass.
Oh my God!
No.
I mean, why not?
You don't want it crowing out its ass.
Exactly. I mean, I'm getting a very Ace Ventura talking out his butt vibe from the golem already.
That's fine. Yeah, that's his long-term project.
Oh, okay.
Feather golem.
Okay, so Mary, why does your character collect feathers?
Because they are extremely, extremely scholarly. They compulsively collect feathers in order to find the best quill possible.
Oh, all right. So when you're writing a magic scroll, it can't be on low-grade paper with low-grade ink.
No.
In the same way,
we
have yet to find the perfect feather.
Yeah.
Somewhere out there, there's like the quill bird that we have not found yet.
The quill bird.
He will write the Declaration of Independence.
And it depends on the ink you're using. Like, does it flow through this feather as a nib feather, or does the bigger, the thicker stem?
You just call it a nib feather?
Because it's a nib on a quill.
No, I know.
Yeah.
It's so like if suddenly your feather's part of a, what is it, a Wacom setup.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, That's just the word for the quill, but yeah, or pen or whatever. But
My brain went more horror. So my character is collecting feathers to figure out why the birds disappeared in kind of this like weird haunted dystopian world.
Yeah.
And collecting them to study them to find out why they disappeared and if it's ominous or not.
Oh, okay. So you're trying to post-mortem.
Yeah. What happened?
Not just a species, but like an entire segment.
Bird-pocalypse.
Yeah. Bird-pocalypse.
What caused the end of birdulence?
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of Wednesday, so it's probably helping. Okay. Well, helping the vibe.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, if I was going with my mushroom person, she would be doing it for the same reason. Like, can I find bird feathers in this cursed forest to see if there are any birds left or where they might be?
Yeah. All right. So what I'm going to go with. So I think my character's doing it out of guilt. That when my character was younger, he spread a false rumor about someone that destroyed their life. And he feels a really serious level of guilt for that. There's a sort of a parable. I don't know if you guys have ever heard this before. I've heard this in real world. Where a person goes out and spreads a bunch of rumors about somebody and they spread and it becomes a huge problem. And eventually they go back to the person they spread rumors about. So, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry I did this. I've changed my mind. I had a change of heart. What can I do to fix this? And the person says, I just want you to do two things. Tomorrow morning, come here with a bag of feathers. So the person does. They go and, you know, tear open a pillow or whatever and bring a bag of feathers. And he says, set them free. Just dump them into the wind in the middle of, like, the town square. And so the person does that. And the aggrieved party says, all right, step one's done. Step two, come back tomorrow. So they show up the same time tomorrow morning. And the person says, now go and get all the feathers back. The metaphor here being about how you can't control what you've said once it's gone. But my character feels so guilty about what has happened. And maybe there's some kind of underlying magic here, you know, like the labors of Hercules, where if this person can actually pull it off, that it does somehow fix things. Or maybe that's not the case at all, but this person just wants to believe there's a way to undo the problem.
Or it could be as simple as something like OCD, where you won't feel
yes
right fixed in yourself mm-hmm. until
yeah complete that time. Maybe it's just working off the guilt through sweat equity, but my character is now compelled to gather these feathers to try and undo the rumor mongering. All righty, let's go with the next one. Let's see, Mary, do you want to roll the
d4? Yeah, I would love to.
All right, this is a significant life event.
Three.
You accidentally caused a local rebellion.
Awesome. Okay.
I've got to be honest, that is the best one on here. The rest of them are kind of...
I roll well.
Kind of blasé. Yeah, that one. Well, this time we actually rolled the funny one without manipulating it. You accidentally caused a rebellion.
Yeah. Isn't it Julia's turn to go first?
Okay, Julia, you accidentally caused a rebellion.
Wow, I told you I'm bad at this. Okay, so I have to like stew on my characters for a long time. Like,
well, stew.
Days. No, I don't have that much time. I don't have days to stew on a character. Okay, so my character's a mouse, and it has caused a rebellion by taking all the good cheese. And so it's caused a rebellion in the mouse town.
Okay, so this is
they're rebelling against you?
You, against me.
So this is like a Rats of Nim thing?
Yes, kind
and,
of.
And you were
mixed with like a little bit of Five O Goes West, yeah.
Yeah, and you were like the cheese hoarder.
I was, and I took the good stuff, the Gouda.
Yeah.
Smoked Gouda.
Yeah, so you control cheese town.
Cheese, yeah, and so I'm going to tax it heavily, and yes. It caused a pretty nasty
okay,
rebellion.
Okay, so you're like a Mad Max character.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Boston Tea Party of cheese.
Yes, all right, I like it.
All right. So, I'm a hacker.
Okay. Oh.
My brother has been accused of a crime, and he's been framed. So, I have hacked into the mayor's office, found the evidence, and the mayor has set him up. So, I'm releasing the evidence. All I'm trying to do is save my brother, get him, you know, free of the crime. But once this gets out, the people revolt, and they overthrow the mayor of the town, and this huge rebellion that was way more than what I was trying to do. I'm just trying to save my brother. But once I put this truth out there, the entire society starts to collapse in rebellion.
Wow.
I'm glad I thought of two character ideas, because one of my characters is going to be pretty similar, where it was someone who was really just trying to clear their name, but in the but didn't realize they were the cover-up for a much worse situation, and in the process of trying to clear their own name, ended up pointing to or laying bare some much more powerful person who had used them as a fall guy.
Yeah, let's go sci-fi future where the town is...
Like a planet?
No, it's still a town, but it is a big town that covers most of a state.
Okay, I see.
So it is a huge area that has now fallen into rebellion.
So it's like a sprawling metropolis or like Megalopolis, except not the terrible movie that just came out.
Sigh. So my character is just a normal person in a very oppressive, like, medieval-style society, where you have very distinct, very controlling upper class that, and then just sort of downtrodden lower class who just goes about their lives and can do nothing about it. Except that, and this is unbeknownst to her, whether she's new in town or whatever, there was a prophecy about somebody coming into town, or about the leader of the rebellion bearing a mark or a white bird or something. And she happens to have, like, found a dove that morning and wanders into town. And then she accidentally sparks a rebellion just by showing up at the wrong place with the right thing. But because everybody believes she is the prophesied child of, like, you know, we're going to win, suddenly there's a peasant revolt and with her at the forefront. And she's like, okay.
I guess I exist here now.
Yeah.
The question is she really the prophesied one? And the prophecy was just that someone would show up and it would happen.
And she doesn't think that, but that may be true, may not be.
We will find out.
I am not too far off from that in my concept, in that it's someone who's more of an accidental hero and maybe really doesn't even want to be. But I'm thinking, going back to my idea of an alien invasion, that this person hits a breaking point, and these previously unkillable, super high-tech, whatever, aliens, my character kills one.
Ooh.
And all of a sudden, the people who have been downtrodden see this as a call to action and rise up, and my character has to try and hold this together, because suddenly he's the hero of this cause, but in truth, he killed this thing at a weirdly vulnerable moment by accident, and knows that this uprising is absolutely going to fail and fail miserably. And so on the one hand, he's the folk hero of the people, but on the other hand, he realizes he's both going to get himself killed and everyone else killed. And so he doesn't want to be that, but he doesn't know how to talk anyone out of that without...
Yeah, because suddenly there's hope, and then you're trying to take that away from people, and it's not going to work.
Precisely. Imagine a more self-aware Paul Maudib from the second Dune movie with, what was that crazy guy that was like, everything he did was proof of prophecy, or... Y'all know what I'm talking about if you've seen the second Dune movie.
I'm just drawing a blank
on
his name.
You know.
I don't know. When I hear this, the first thing I'm thinking is Jane from Serenity.
Yeah.
When do we get to go to the crappy planet where I'm a hero?
Alrighty, so let's move on to strange skills or traits. Oh, it's my turn to roll. Alright, some of these are really funny. Some of these are not. Let's see. Number three. Damn, I did not... You know what?
Yeah, none of us are close enough to read the screen.
You can just make it up.
Okay, I rolled a three, which is totally... Mary, you're going to love this.
Uh-huh.
Knows an unusual amount about magical fungi.
My characters, so
knows an unusual amount about magical fungi.
She just becomes an anthropologist, except for fungus.
I think you were already connecting the dots on this one. This is going to be, it's funny because of your character, but I think the execution is going to be funnier on the other three.
Yeah.
All right, my character is on a generation ship, and he works in environmentals. Basically, they take all of the sludge that comes through and clean it and try to reclaim all of it. But they use some of the waste product to grow mushrooms. He, in particular, grows mushrooms and has started the underground drug trade aboard the ship because of the magical mushrooms that he has been growing out of everyone's poop.
Oh, gross.
Well, what do you think you do with poop? You make fertilizer.
Yeah.
So he actually, in environmental, grows all of the magical fungi that is getting everyone on board the ship high in the underground
because
there's not much to do on a ship.
I like it. Julia, what have you got?
Ooh, you go first.
Okay. So my character, the truth is there is not a planet where it's like dark for long periods of time. There's no alien invasion. The reality is he's just kind of a sad sack. He's just not had a great life, not had a great person. But he goes out into the woods and drops magic mushrooms. And for a while, even though really it was actually just sundown in the woods behind his house, he absolutely believes that he has overcome a great enemy and is leading a revolt on a planet where it is always dark. And, you know, give this an hour or two to work itself out and he'll realize what's going on and just go home. But
but instead he's fighting trees.
But he knows an enormous amount about magical fungi because of the fact that's how he escapes his dreary and bleak reality.
Terrible life.
Every night he goes into the woods, trips balls, and has a different delusion. And that is the genre and that is the plot arc of that game. Is just him tripping balls.
Are you channeling Chad? Because this is totally a Chad character.
Well, it is probably a Chad character insofar as it does not work at all with a group or campaign. But you have to admit, for a solo character, game, this would be great. Like every night, you know, when we get together to game, it is a completely different genre system, whatever.
We're in his head.
All those things that on your shelf you've never had a chance to play, we can play all of them. It's just this particular night, my character's tripping balls and thinks he's on Planet of the Apes. And we can play that game.
And then we're all just apes.
And then the next night, my character's tripping balls and thinks it's Fallout. Okay. And we can play Fallout. See? Yep. Wayne, you should be encouraging this.
Wow. Well, so speaking of Fallout, my character is post-apocalyptic.
Okay.
And is studying growing because you can have water. It might be radioactive, but you can at least have some dampness around and hoping to grow mushrooms for non-radioactive food.
Okay. I mean, that works too in Fallout because all the vaults had a purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So maybe the purpose of your vault was to
create basically Last of Us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I kept going to Last of Us. I'm like, I can't create a Last of Us character. So this is close enough.
No, you could.
I find it funny. None of us went the Mario route.
I know.
There are mushrooms that give you different powers. And
Dude, Mario, at least in the original lore, I don't know how much of this they've changed. But I'm talking like back when Super Mario Brothers first came out.
I would say post-Jumpman, but, you know.
Well, and for some reason, no one remembers Mario Brothers, the original, outside of like me and my sisters, because we played the crap out of it, where that's the first time Mario's a plumber and not a carpenter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Mario and Luigi are cleaning out sewers. But anyway, have you ever read some of the original lore of that game? Like the blocks you're destroying, those are citizens of the Mushroom Kingdom that were turned into blocks.
Mm-hmm.
Like Bowser used them to construct the world. So every time you hit a mushroom and eat one of the citizens of the Mushroom Kingdom and grow to like 12 feet tall and start smashing buildings, you're actually killing people. Sweet. It's a really whacked out plot. Last one, I definitely have some things I'm hoping for, but... Oops, there you go, Wayne. Give me a D4 roll. I definitely have some ones.
Three.
Roll again. I just...
That was the word.
Three.
Roll again.
Roll again. There are definitely much better ones. Two. Cannot stand the sight of open water. Three is too boring. Fears magical spells, even beneficial ones. We've all seen Conan.
Yeah.
That's kind of boring. But the first two are great. Number one was terrified of cats. And number two is cannot stand the sight of open water.
All right, so I'm going to go with my character that I just talked about on the Generation Ship. The Generation Ship reached its destination. They did their test. They've landed. He has spent all of his life growing up on board a ship. The open water, the open sky, everything is overwhelming and ridiculous, and he just wants to stay inside.
Yeah.
And he has jobs he has to do, so he has to go out there. And particularly because of his skill set, he is being put to work on the water filtration system right out there next to the big open water that goes on forever. And why doesn't it end? Where's the bulkhead? Where's the wall?
Okay, so character is used to confinement of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Now suddenly has like
feels open.
Yeah, fear of open spaces.
Yeah, that's like that. What's that still water thing going around the internet right now?
Thalassophobia.
Yeah, where people are talking about still water. Anyway, it's like TikTok and Reels.
Dude, no, I have that mild fear.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not a strong fear, but whenever I look out at an open body of still water, I always, it's like I feel on some primal level.
Like weird about it?
Like, no, like there's something beneath the water that I just can't see.
That's how I feel about any water I can't see the bottom.
Yeah, like there's some huge, it doesn't matter if it's a lake, river, ocean.
Mm-hmm.
I just have this weird feeling that there is something right beneath the surface mm-hmm. that is huge and horrifying. And real truth. I really do. It's not a powerful fear.
Mine is like,
but it's just there.
Like, so like the ocean and lakes and stuff, I totally get, right? Like, because they're giant, there's stuff under there. So I'm like, I know there's things underneath. It's when you like come upon like we used to have this barn that we would explore in the woods by my house.
Yeah.
And we walked in one time and the whole basement had flooded up to the stairs. And if you look down, it was dark, still water. And you know that was deep and creepy and there's there. Like that stuff freaks me out.
That's
more than
where skeletons live.
And yeah, exactly. That's where I find a dead person.
I'm worse.
These are the dead marshes and I don't want to.
Whereas I feel like I'm waiting for like the giant serpentine head of Nessie to break the water.
That's me. I just know that's my fear. But I guess that's the difference is I know that stuff, that there's giant sea creatures and stuff that like, we don't get to see.
I've been playing through that Hogwarts game out of curiosity. And the idea that the giant kraken in the lake is friendly?
Yeah.
Like, I was, and the first time I saw those tentacles, I'm like, screw this. Why have they not killed this damn thing?
Because it eats toast.
And yeah, apparently because it's like super friendly and likes toast. Yep. And to me, this just is mind breaking. But anyway, all right. So we know why Wayne's character is afraid of water.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to go next?
So I have a slightly different take on this, but a character who's still afraid of water. Character who is terrified of water because they are small enough that the idea of having anything, like water has its own viscosity, right?
Yes.
And surface tension.
Yes.
And we are so small that you can't directly drink water because you will get sucked in and drown.
Oh.
Oh.
Like you can't, they're not strong enough to break surface tension of water. So they have to be very careful about not going anywhere near any of it. Or else they like will get sucked in and can't cut out.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. Now, Wayne, I was a little surprised, got to admit here, that with the fear of open water, you didn't go with the Planet of the Apes thing of apes can't swim.
Oh, yeah.
Humans, I believe, are the only homonyms that can swim. And that's a recurring theme in all the Planet of the Apes movies is humans are not afraid of water. The various simians are because none of them can swim.
The reason I didn't go that route is because I don't know how to swim.
Oh.
And my characters generally have weaknesses different than my own.
Fair enough. Oh, okay. Fair enough. All right, Julia, what do we got here? Why?
So my character doesn't like open water because they existed during something similar to like the water world.
Okay.
So now that like the water is gone and we're back to like dry stuff, it's open water freaks her out now because she lived in it basically for so long.
Okay, so there's like some kind of diluvian memory there.
That it's going to come back or like almost like a PTSD from it.
So I'm going to keep going sci-fi. My character who's existing in the shadow of this alien invasion, the aliens are super protective of Earth's water systems, both because of, and I could say they want the water, but the truth is, at least within this solar system, water is fairly abundant. But maybe they're after the biodiversity of it. I don't know. Or maybe that's a mystery. We don't know why the aliens are interested in our oceans and lakes and such. But anyone seen going near them or getting close enough to any body of water over a certain size will be instantly killed. And so to even see it is like to set your eyes upon the Ark of the Covenant, mm-hmm. right? You just don't do this. You don't look directly at this stuff. Ooh. So to find a brook where you can get a, you know, or a small spring where you can get enough water for your village is one thing. But if you happen to even see a lake, right? In fact, the tribe knows where the bodies of water are and has specifically warned us against going more than a day's travel to the north or more than half a day's travel to the east or something because we will see open water and then we will die.
Ooh, that's creepy.
I like that.
I like that one. Yeah. I'll play that game.
For half a second, it sounded like we were going in a science direction.
And yeah. Took
not that.
Not that.
No, I look, as someone who's willing to grant M. Night Shyamalan a little bit more mercy than the average person, even I did not understand why aliens who cannot handle water would choose to invade Earth.
Yeah.
So you could defeat the, I mean, like your XCOM technology is not bullets to lasers to plasma weapons. It's bullets to your garden hose.
He always has such cool concepts with terrible endings to them.
You know,
like that's my big thing. Everybody craps all over him. I'm like, the stuff is original, but the execution is terrible.
I'm willing to grant him a little bit more favor than most people's. I really liked his superhero trilogy.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Unbreakable, that Split, Glass.
Yeah,
I really liked that trilogy, and
I didn't see them all, but I saw.
I get why people don't. And I can't blame them, but I did. And that, there you go. So
I don't like Unbreakable, but only because it wasn't the movie that I thought I was going to watch.
Oh.
And so I need to go back and rewatch it. No, no.
Watch the three of them together. Watch them back to back.
I don't like it, and I don't remember anything
like
about it.
Like, so. One night is a marathon, or 3 nights in a row. Watch Unbreakable, Split, and then Glass. Once again, I liked it. A lot of people didn't. I understand why they didn't. I can't blame them, but I personally liked it. So anyway, thanks for we're going to kill this one. I don't know if we're ever going to do this again. This was just a this was a totally random suggestion that I was just playing around with an AI. And its suggestion was actually funny enough. I went with it, but we don't usually do that. So anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. Have a great week and great games, and we will catch you next time.